The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
If you understand that God has loved you this much, thank Him for loving you. Thank Him for loving you this much. Thank Him for His love He has shown you. Think of what it could have been if not for the love of Jesus. Bless His name. Bless His name. Oh, thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' name we pray. We receive your word this evening, Father, upon good ground, in understanding, in clarity, in revelation. And we open up this place for the move of your spirit. At any time you want, you can interrupt this meeting. And let us all live here blessed. And everyone here today, everyone that will come in, everyone that will be under the sound of my voice, whether now or in the future, hearing these words will be totally transformed by them. In Jesus' name we pray. Shout a big amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. You might be seated. Glory to God. It's a great day. The 6th day of February is a beautiful month, right? A month you are enjoying special graces. Glory to God. Special graces. And like I always say, the year is running already. And I would like to say, if you are going to make progress or see progress by the end of this year, you are already sowing the seed now. Okay? You heard me last Sunday announcing that we've achieved 5% of what we want to do with our land project. And that's how it should be in your life. By now, you should have taken stock of your life. All the things I wrote down in January, how many percent can I say I've achieved? You get the point? How far have I gone? So you take stock of your life. If you do not take stock of your life, you will not know whether you are progressing or whether you are retrogressing. Amen. So it's good you do that. Hallelujah. Okay, so today we are here now. Are you ready? So we started the anointing of the Holy Ghost on Sunday. How much are expectant for this series? The anointing of the Holy Ghost. What a beautiful reality. Amen. And you know, whenever we talk about the anointing, you should expect that there will be a flow of the anointing. And that's the thing about God. You can't talk about something, except He's not the one in the meeting. If you're talking about something, there will be an experience of the same. So this evening, we'll continue from there. We were looking at the anointing of the Holy Ghost, and I showed you that the word anoint, the anointing of the Holy Ghost, the anointing is actually the Holy Spirit. And I proved that to you again and again. I gave you 3 Greek words last week, right? On Sunday. And I said I was going to see if I can offer a little more explanation on them. I gave you the word aleifo, the word chrisma, and the word krio. How many of us, you went through your notes before the service? You checked your last Sunday notes before the service. Put it up and leave it up. Let me see. Okay. So, you all have forgotten January series. Responding So it took a whole month to explain how to respond to God's word, and just in the next month, you've forgotten it. It's well. We are getting there. And you are getting better. I hope so. So look at this word, Christ. So these three words, these are Greek words used to talk about the anointing. Now, this, I like starting this way because it's going to help you see for real what the anointing is. This word, aleipho, is actually a Greek word that means to rub. It means to rub. In this context, when it is used for the word anoint in the Bible, most times when it is this word used, it's not talking about a spiritual thing. Most times. Are you getting the point? Most times. So, and I'll give you a few examples. This word, aleipho, appeared, it occurs 10 times in the New Testament in 8 different verses. It occurs 10 times in the New Testament in 8 different verses. So we look at some of them, if not all. In Matthew 6 and verse 17, remember I told you that word means to rob something. In Matthew 6 verse 17, it says, "But thou, when thou fastest, anoint thy head and wash thy face." So it's not talking about bring fire of God upon your head. Do you understand? He just said, anoint your head. That's what I lay for. Anoint your head. Other translations, we use other words other than anoint. So if you have like NLT, NLT said, "But when you fast, comb your hair, wash your face." I get the point. So it's not talking about fire of God on your head. Give me another one, Amplified Classic. You know, he said, "When you fast, perfume your head, wash your face." So that's what I lay for. It's not talking about something spiritual. I get what I'm saying. So it's not like when you fast, pour anointing oil on your head. That's what he's saying. So that word aleph, it simply means to rub something. So he say when you fast, rub something on your head. What he's trying to say is when you're fasting, don't look like an idiot so that everybody will know that you're fasting. Do you understand? Don't refuse to comb your hair, refuse to have your bath, and then refuse to apply pomade and all of that, and then you just come out. And when people look at you, they know that, that one is going through a lot. And when they ask you, how was happening? He said, "Nothing. I'm just fasting." Do you understand the point? He said, anoint your head, perfume your head. Okay? Perfume your head. What did the message say? Message said, anoint your head. He said, if you go into training, no, you've jumped to. Have you? Okay, you are sitting there. If you go into training inwardly, act normally outwardly. Do you understand? He now says, shampoo and comb your hair. That's what I lay for. Anoint your head. Do you understand? Rub something there. Shampoo and comb your hair. Brush your teeth. It's so important. Brush your teeth. Wash your face. Don't look like an idiot. That's what I'm trying to say. So that you don't just fast and everybody just looks and say, that one must be fasting. Do you understand? You know, talking about fasting, people use this verse to say, you know, when you're fasting, don't tell anybody. Well, that's not exactly what the Bible is trying to say in this place. You can tell people that you're fasting if it is necessary. Do you understand? If it is necessary. He's just trying to say, don't put it on people's face. Don't try to brag with it. Don't try to show off. Because if you try to show off with your fasting, then that fasting has no reward. At the end of the day, you've received your reward. But then you could go to someone's house and person gets food, and maybe a believer in Christ, most importantly, brings food, and they say, I can't eat. Say, why? I say, I'm actually on fast. There's nothing wrong with that. I get what I'm saying? Because if you come to my house and don't tell me you're on fast, you're going to eat. I'm telling you this sincerely. You will say I'm the weapon fashioned against you. You will eat something. Do you understand? So there's nothing wrong with that. But then you're getting the idea of the word anoint in this context. It's not talking about fire. Whenever that word I lay for is used, it means to just rub. Other examples, Mark 6 and verse 13. It says, "And they cast out many devils and anointed with oil," meaning that we are sick and healed them. So you see now, anointed with oil, that was what I lay for. It means to rub. But this time, what did they rub them with? They rub them with oil. They rub them with oil. Give me other translations like the different translation. They rub them with oil. It says, anointed them with olive oil. So it's that same word I lay for. But it is telling you it's actually a physical thing that they did. So it wasn't a spiritual thing. They rubbed them with physical oil. Anointed them with that. So when people are anointed with oil in the Bible, the word used is aleifo, because it's actually simple. It literally means to rub something, rub oil on them. Do you understand that? In Mark 16 and verse 1, Mark 16 and verse 1, it says, "And when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary the mother of James and Salome had brought sweet spices that they might come and anoint him." So was he trying to say that they wanted to come and release impartation upon Jesus? No. So every time you see anoint used in the Bible, it's not always talking about impartation. Do you hear what I'm saying? So they came with some spices to come and anoint him. He was dead. This was when Jesus was in the grave. So what does that mean? They came to rub. There are certain things you apply on the body, on the body of a dead relative in those days. So they came to anoint his body. Do you understand? Give me other translations of this. So every time you see anoint in the Bible, it doesn't always mean that they came to pour fire or impart. So I can ask you, have I anointed your body today? That simply means, you ask me with what? With what? Have you anointed your body with pomade or with this? You get the point? I don't know if you did that. I hope so. So Saturday evening when the Sabbath ended, Mary Magdalene and Salome and Mary mother of James went out and purchased what? Burial spices, so they could anoint Jesus' body. So this is not talking about the fire of the Holy Ghost. They came with burial spices. That's the word aleifo. They came to anoint his body, to rub. Are you getting this now? So it's not every time you see the word anoint in the Bible that is totally talking about fire or impartation and what have you. So you have that. Can I show you other ones? Luke 7:38. Luke 7. We've seen Matthew. We've seen Mark. I think we just look at all of them. Luke 7:38. "And stood at his feet behind him weeping and began to wash his feet with tears and did wipe them with hairs." Who was this person? This was that woman that broke an alabaster box at the feet of Jesus, believed to be Mary. You see, and did wipe them with the hairs of her head and kissed his feet and anointed them with the ointment. So he anointed Jesus. So she bought an expensive perfume and then broke it and poured it on the feet of Jesus. The Bible said they anointed his feet. Now that wasn't anything spiritual. That was just a way of showing hospitality, a way of showing honor, a way of showing respect, a way of showing value. That wasn't anything spiritual, because if we go by what the word, if to go by impartation, this woman could not impart Jesus. Don't you think so? So it was just a way to show honor. But then the word used there is anointed his feet. In verse 46, Jesus was referring to that event and told the guys, "My head with oil, thou didst not anoint." What he's trying to say is, when I came in here, you guys didn't take care of me. You didn't even pour oil on my head. Now, that's not talking about another spiritual thing. He's trying to say, people didn't treat me with any form of honor. So there was a part of hospitality then where they could pour oil on people, you know, to welcome them. He said, "This woman anointed my feet with ointment." So I'm trying to show you that the word anoint, when aleifo is used, okay, it talks about rubbing something, to rub, practice something physical, not spiritual now. John 11 verse 2. I'm already showing everything. John 11 and verse 2. Hallelujah. It was that Mary. Now, referring to that event in Luke chapter 7, it was that Mary which anointed the Lord with ointment. Now, if you are not a good... I was talking to you about Greek language on Sunday. How that the Greek language is richer than English language. Right? Now, if you are not a good student of the Bible who will check the original language, when you read this verse, Mary anointed the Lord. Imagine that. Mary anointed. So if you just read it literally, in the context of the anointing we know now, it will be like Mary imparted Jesus. That's what he's saying. So Mary anointed the Lord means Mary rubbed perfume on the feet of Jesus. I get to the point. Nothing spiritual. Again, that is why, because someone may be wondering, why is it that when you guys study, you always say the Greek word is this? Because the Bible was written in Greek. And in the original language, some words that will have, some words you find in the English language, actually has three different words in the Greek. Just like this word anoint. And the Greek language will have a word showing it, so that when you read, you will see that
It's not a spiritual thing. So it would be terrible to say that this woman imparted Jesus. It would be very terrible. Or laid hands on him. Are you getting the point? See, it was the Mary that anointed his feet. Hallelujah. So again, chapter 12 and verse 3, we read the same story. Then took Mary a pound of ointment of spikenard, very costly, and anointed the feet of Jesus. And wiped his feet and all of that. Now, James chapter 5 and verse 14. That's the only place this word aleifo was used in the epistles. Is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil. Now, with everything we've said about the word aleifo now, this is not talking about the spirit. It means use oil. Rub oil on him and pray for him. Are you getting the point? Rub oil on him and pray for him. That's what he's saying. But then again, what will heal the guy will not be the oil they put on him. Because the next verse now tells us, verse 15, that the prayer of faith shall save the sick. So why did he say anoint him with oil before praying for him? We're going to get to that later. Is that okay? Because God, if God permits us, we're going to get to, I'm going to, maybe one of these Thursdays in this series, if we have the time, I'm going to discuss the anointing oil, what we call that anointing oil. Its place in the New Testament. Can we use it? Why did the Bible say, for instance, in this place that it should be used? And we already saw somewhere in the four Gospels where the disciples of Jesus used it to minister to the sick. Do you remember that? So we're going to look at that somewhere in this series. But for now, you understand the word I lay for, right? It means to rob. Now the next word is the word chrisma. Chrisma. Like I've explained to you, that word is to, you know, it means an unction. A special endowment. A special endowment. Okay? It's used in 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. 1 John chapter 2 and verse 20. We read it a lot on Sunday. So we're looking at it again now. 1 John 2 and verse 20. Hallelujah. That's the word chrisma. Actually, it was only John that used this word in the whole epistles, actually. He used it here. You have an unction from the Holy One. You have an unction. That's an enablement, an endowment from the Holy One. So that's what chrisma. It means an anointing. So that's what we use mostly in church. When we say, you receive the anointing for healing. That's chrisma. You receive the anointing for this. It means an endowment, an empowerment, an unction. Are you getting the point? In verse 27, John will use that word again. He says, but the anointing which you have received of him abideth in you. Abideth in you. The anointing you've received. So he used it three times actually in two different verses. The anointing which you have received of him abideth in you, and you need not that any man should teach you, but as the same anointing, the word chrisma again, teaches you. So it means an empowerment, an endowment, you see, an unction to be empowered to do something. And then the third word we're looking at is the word kyo. It means to consecrate someone for a religious office, to a religious office. To consecrate someone to a religious office. So when kyo is used, when this third one is used, we are trying to say, I gave an example on Sunday, is that act where we say, oh, in the name of Jesus, you know, you've been made a leader or something. And by this, we lay hands on you and we'll set you apart for this office. In that also, there's an empowerment. Right? But this empowerment now is for that specific office we are consecrating the person onto. Do you understand what I'm saying? Do you understand that? If someone is made a pastor of a church and I lay hands on the person, we are consecrating the person to that office. Of course, in that moment, there will also be an empowerment for that very assignment. So you find that, for instance, in Luke 4 and verse 18, Jesus used that word where he said, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he had anointed me. That's the word krio. You know, that's what why didn't Jesus use aleifo here? He's talking about something in particular. He's anointed me to preach the gospel. In other words, he has set me apart for this purpose. To preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives. You know, all of that. He has set me apart for this purpose. That's what's clear. So Jesus used that. And you find that in a lot of other places. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 27. In Acts chapter 4, and verse 27, he said, "For of a truth, against thy holy child Jesus, whom thou hast anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate to the Gentiles and the people of Israel, we are gathered." He said, "You've anointed Jesus." So this was Peter talking. You know, they were praying actually, the apostles. They were saying, talk to the Lord that these guys have gathered against thy child Jesus, who you have anointed. That's what crew. You have set apart, consecrated. Are you getting the point? To be the savior. Consecrated. You set him out for the purpose. They've gathered against him. You find those words again. You find that word again in the popular Acts 10:38, which you quote a lot in this church. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. God anointed him. God consecrated him. God put something upon him that set him apart from other people. Now, what was that thing that God put on him? It was the Holy Ghost. But this time, the Holy Ghost was on him to consecrate him for the assignment he came to do specifically. And what did that produce? He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. Are you following me, friends? That's what Christ. So you see, the same word, I can show you maybe two more. Because that word actually appeared 5 times. So I've shown you 3. Let me show you the remaining 2. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 21. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 21. He says, "Now he which establisheth us with you in Christ has anointed us is God." That's the one that has consecrated us, that has set us apart from the rest of the people. Give another translation of this, maybe New Living Translation of this verse. Now look at what New Living Translation uses. He said, "It is God who enables us along with you to stand firm for Christ. He has commissioned us." Commissioned us. Do you understand? Commissioned us. That's the word anointed, to consecrate, to set you apart for an assignment. Give me like Amplified Classic. He has commissioned us. He said, "It is God who confirms and makes us steadfast and establishes us in joint fellowship with you in Christ, has consecrated and anointed us." Do you understand? To consecrate. And do you know with the gift of the Holy Ghost? So there's a consecration, an anointing, a setting apart. Do you understand? So actually, when we begin to discuss the anointing upon ministry gifts, for instance, we are going to focus on this word, this third one. You get the point? Because it's to set someone apart, eventually empowering the person too, but it sets the person apart. So one more verse for this word, crew. That's Hebrew 1 verse 9. Hebrew 1 and verse 9. Hebrew 1 and verse 9. "Thou hast loved righteousness and hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, had anointed thee," Creo, "with the oil of gladness above thy fellows." So you notice, he was talking in relation with his fellows. He said God has anointed him. What does that mean? God has set him apart from his fellows. God has consecrated him. So if I'm here now, and maybe all of you here now are workers, and I pick 2 people, I say, "You are now the technical coordinator. You are now this." I've set them apart from every other person. And that's what I want to say to you. Every time that kind of thing happens in church, whether you realize it or not, there is an empowerment upon that person. There's an anointing that comes over that person. And at that moment, God, in that context, it's not just about God. When we use the word creo now, it's not just about God giving him, empowering him. It's not just about God giving him ability. It's about God setting him apart. Of course, giving him abilities. It's not just that he can heal the sick or raise the dead. That's why someone can heal. Let me give you an example. There may be 2 people in this church. One is even more charismatic than the other. That one can see vision. He can heal the sick. He can cast out devil. You know all of that. There's another person that is a serious person, but may not have all those things flowing in him like that. Then we pick the other person and anoint him. If the other person is wise, he must submit all those charismatic things under the person that's anointed for that leadership. Because as good as all the things you are doing is, there is a special grace that one carries that you do not carry. Why? He has been consecrated specially for this office. Are you getting the point? That's why, if you might be surprised, when he opens his mouth and talks, he might not be as charismatic. He might not be able to say, I see 10 people. But as he is talking to you, by wisdom, he's solving your problem. And you want, you that is doing, I see 10 people. You might not, but he will just be talking casually. Because he has been set apart for that office. And what is a setting apart as an empowerment? In every field, what is a setting apart, thereby an empowerment. Shout amen, somebody. So you be, so these are the three words. I just had to start with that today. So these are three words for anoint. And so you remember I showed you on Sunday that we can classify the anointing, because and all this, and let me say this. All this, whenever I use the word anoint, and it's a spiritual reality, apart from this now, this is oil, aleifo, is to rub with oil or rub with pomade. You get the point? But when we are discussing the anointing in the area of empowerment, which is maybe the word Christmas crew, we are talking about the Holy Spirit. We're talking about the Holy Spirit. If I say, just anoint your, when Jesus said, if you are fasting, anoint your head. He's not talking about the Holy Spirit there. He's not saying pour Holy Spirit on yourself. But when the Bible now said, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth, that's the Holy Ghost there. And he even told you, with the Holy Ghost and with power. And so the anointing is the Holy Ghost. It's the Holy Spirit. That's why in a context, anointing of the Holy Ghost is even tautology. You are repeating the same thing. Because the anointing is the Holy Ghost. I get to the point. In a context, the anointing of the Holy Ghost is tautology. But why you have to, why I say it's in a context, why we have to add of the Holy Ghost, you know, is because if I just say the anointing, someone could mistake that I'm saying any other thing. Because I could as well anoint myself with perfume, like they did to Jesus. They anointed his feet with perfume. Do you understand the point? So we have to add the anointing of the Holy Ghost. In other words, an empowerment, an endowment that the Holy Ghost brings. That the Holy Ghost brings. And I began to show you can classify the anointing like I did on Sunday into three. Is it three? I think it's more than three. I gave you four. Right? We can classify it into four. First is the anointing within. I'm just doing a recap. The anointing within, or the believer's anointing. This one is the Holy Ghost, the indwelling spirit. In everybody, every child of God carries this anointing within. This very one I'm discussing, the anointing within, you don't have to pray to get it. Please don't forget what I'm saying now. You don't have to be anything to have it. Once you are born again, the Holy Ghost lives inside of you. That is the indwelling spirit. It's in everybody. Once you are born again, every Christian, once you are born again, that's what John was discussing when he said, the anointing which you have received of him remaineth in you, abideth in you. Notice again the tense is used. 1 John 2 verse 27. Notice the tense is used. He didn't say the anointing which you will receive. It's the anointing that you have received. So he's talking to every believer that the anointing you have received already is the indwelling spirit. With this classification, because people normally, you know, this is so important we're discussing this. Like, you know, say, if all of us are, you know, I'm anointed, how is this person anointed different from this person? Well, if you understand what I'm showing you now, you see why. Everybody, there's an anointing that everybody carries, the anointing of the Holy Ghost. I have it, you have it. Better put, I have him, you have him. Because the anointing is the Holy Spirit. It's not just an it, it's not an object, it's not a phenomenon. It's a person, he's a person. He's a person. It's not a phenomenon, it's not a concept. I get the point. The anointing is a person. The Holy Ghost is a person. He's a person. Say, sir, why do you guys always say he's a person, he's a person? I can show you that in the Bible a lot. Everything a human being can do, the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost even has emotions. So how do you know that? Have you not read the Bible? Grieve not the Spirit. Meaning you can actually grieve him. I feel what I'm saying. I can show you anything anybody can do, the Holy Ghost can do. Grieve not the Spirit. So just like a person has emotions, the Holy Ghost has emotions. You get the point? He says, what do you mean by that? What is that thing that responds to you when you are about to take a wrong step? It is the Spirit of God frowning at something. Do you understand? That thing, just frowning at that thing. That's the emotion of the Spirit. So, the Holy Ghost is a pressing. So, the right thing to actually say is not that every believer has it. It's that every believer has him. The indwelling Spirit, that's believer's anointing. Every believer carries that anointing. Every believer. Young, old, everyone. In every believer. That's the Holy Ghost. The indwelling Spirit. And we're looking at that on Sunday. Then the second classification I gave you is the anointing of ministry gifts. What we are saying in that context is, even though every believer has the Holy Ghost, all of the Holy Ghost, that same Holy Ghost in every believer will now empower certain people, specially, that apart from everyone, because there is a general empowerment has given all of us. We saw that on Sunday. But then for some other people, you now empower them extra because of the responsibility upon their life. Do you know what I'm talking about now? Okay, let me use the human body to explain that. So, there is a human being, different parts of his body. Right? The same blood flowing in the leg is flowing here in the hand, flowing in the head, everywhere. Same blood. Is that correct? Now, the same DNA, the same life. But then, there is something the eye is empowered to do that the hand cannot do. That's what we talk about, the anointing of ministry gifts. That even though it's the same blood, the same life flowing through the entire body, some people are empowered to do things differently because of their responsibility. Not because they are special, but because they have a different assignment. I get the point. So that is the believer's anointing, everybody carries. That is an anointing of God on ministry gifts. Is the same Holy Spirit. It doesn't mean a minister has a different Holy Spirit from another person. It just means that the same Holy Ghost all of us have empowered some people more than others, as in different from other people. Do you know what I'm saying now? I gave an example on Sunday. There are, for instance, if someone is called to be an apostle, I'm going to get to this soon, because I want to have time. If we don't finish this month, I'll carry it on to next month. Yes. If someone is called to be an apostle, maybe to plant churches, he is specially anointed for that. Specially. If he gets to a place, and when you see that kind of anointing, you can't fight it. When he gets to certain places, they say that a church cannot start. He just comes in. Sometimes in 6 months, a massive church is standing there. He moves again. Sir, does it mean all of us cannot do that? Well, all of us can. Just that all of us now have to be trained to do it. I say I'm going to get to this. You get the point? Some are empowered by the Spirit to do it. Others can be trained to do it. That's why everybody is not called a pastor. But everybody can be trained to become a pastor. Are you aware of this thing I said now? Actually. Everybody is not called to be a pastor. But you can be trained. But you are trained by impartation. Because anointing can be imparted. We're going to get to all of that. Do you understand? But then people are just specially endowed to do certain things. In fact, in the pastoral office, I am a lead pastor. You are not. Are you? You are not. At least not yet. Except you want to be. Because I'm a lead pastor, there are still special enablements I have that you do not have. Not because I am better, but because I am different. Every time we are discussing this, don't always think of better. Think of difference. And wisdom is the understanding of difference. You know what I'm saying? So, why is he better than all of us? No, he's not better than all of you. He's just different from you. Just different. But then, the same Spirit, actually. The same Holy Ghost. But then, empowers people differently. So, that's the second classification we give to the anointing. The third classification now is the anointing for other ministry responsibilities. Now, still related to that anointing of ministry gifts, but we are now saying that even other people who are not called into the fivefold ministry, as we call it, that if there is anything that they are asked to do in church, that has to do for the Lord, that there is a special endowment the Holy Ghost also gives them for that one. That's why, believe it or not, even if you can sing heaven and earth, these people here who are in the expression have a special anointing to sing here that you don't have. Because this is where they're asked to serve. I get the point. They have it. Especially. Any time I move any of them from here to serve as an usher, you might think you can stand better than them, or you can dress better than them, or you can smile better than them. But hey, that's an anointing they have to do that in. And that's why, you know, there's some testimonies that we don't, that things are actually happening. And I don't know why God is leading me this direction. That's why you must never see wherever you are serving in God's house as small. Because the amount, the kind of thing God uses those things to do, you will never know. You know, the main things go on in church that we don't say, because we don't even know all of them. Let me do this now. How many of you here, sincerely, no pretense, have ever been coming into church tired, depressed, frustrated, and then an usher or someone at the door just gives you a warm smile or welcomes you in a special way and your mood came alive? Anybody here? Now, you may never know what I'm saying. I've heard other testimonies. I've heard other... That's why I met this, you may not know. He said, all of us can smile. If you smile, nothing is going to happen. They are anointed to smile. That's the truth. You may never know the things that happen. There are some persons that will tell you, I was feeling sick before I came into. But then I came in and sat down, I stopped feeling the headache. When did the healing take place? Maybe as a greeter was greeting you downstairs. I get what I'm saying. There are many things that happen. So he said, if it's about smiling, we all can smile. Not everybody can smile. I know a person that eventually became our fellowship president over in school. How he joined the fellowship. He was doing pre-science. Real life story. Doing pre-science. You know, when Asus pre-science was in Osaka. I don't think that's still there now. So he was just passing. He said, one fine young girl was standing at the door doing usher. Smiling. And then he passed. The lady smiled. He passed again. Then he just did. Real life story. Said, come. He said he entered the fellowship. He later became my president. I'm telling you. So I asked him, I said, Papa, is it the fine girl? He said, I don't even know whether that girl continued in that fellowship. But the guy became president. You know, so the way God empowers people for not so spiritual things can be amazing. We saw it last week, how he said that Bezalel and Aholiab, he said, I have anointed them to be able to build the house of God. How do you anoint people to build? This one that could build normally, he said, I have anointed him to build. That kind of pressing with that kind of empowerment, put sand on the building, the job will be done. In fact, work will not finish, then the job is done. Yeah, because he just puts sand, things just keep getting better. Cement can multiply in his hands. Yeah, what could have handled 5, whatever, we handle 17. Now, this is not just about having the knowledge. That is good, there's need for knowledge, but then there's an anointing for anything God has to do in his house. Anything. Anything. That's why I tell people, don't try to do what you're not empowered to do. Don't try to do that. You know, all this, you want to teach children in church. There are some you will place out of children in church without the proper anointing. Their spiritual life will travel. Because half of the time we are going to be in service here, they are going to be there running around with the children. You get the point? That's why some people, when they see children for 6 to 8 months, they don't even know if they are born again. They don't even understand it. Some people have been growing up, that are women, you know, that have been teaching children church since you were born. And that's just only Christians. Some of those women, some of them think they are 60, 70, they are still running around with children. Now you go try that. 3 months you've traveled. Your spiritual life has gone. There is just this grace God gives. So I'm talking about the anointing. Now, this is still the Holy Ghost. But then empowering this person to do whatever that has been put in his hand. Are you following me? Then the third kind of anointing I was talking about, the fourth rather classification I gave, is the corporate anointing. The corporate anointing. That is the anointing of God. That is something that is found in our meetings when we gather. And like I told you on Sunday, Brother Eggie says, He believes this is the most powerful expression of the anointing. The corporate anointing. And when we get there, we'll tell you how to actually, because when it has to be corporate anointing, all of us have something to contribute in bringing the intensity of that flow in any meeting. Are you following me? Have you not seen where you're praying for certain things in your room and then nothing is working? You just come to church. And as we're just worshiping, the thing just gets sorted. If you understand the corporate anointing, you will not be missing church. And you can afford to carry some needs and run to church. Whether we pray or not, it will be sorted. Sometimes we are just worshiping, lifting our hands. That's why when people are, we are singing and we are lifting our hands, and people are crying, everybody's crying for different reasons. Some are crying because of the worship. Some are crying because of a heartbreak. Some are crying. Any person that just is working on everybody's hearts at the same time. Some will remember the morning that they lost his dad. Like, but God is moving. It's important. Some will remember the assignment he had to him. Nobody will have. But it's just the Holy Ghost walking. I'm trying to tell you. If you think it's a lie, when something's over, look at five people that are crying. I say, why were you crying? You will hear different stories from different of them. The same thing when we are shouting. Sometimes we are shouting. Some people are shouting for different reasons because the Holy Ghost is working on different hearts. Somebody is shouting because the love of justice is overwhelming. Another person is shouting because God has told him, I'm going to pay your bills. But we are all shouting. And it's the corporate of the Holy Ghost. In that flow, anything and everything is possible. So we're going to get to all of that. But I'm still doing a recap anyway. So on Sunday, we zeroed in on the believer's anointing. If you remember, believer's anointing. That anointing within the believer. And I showed you what the anointing can do. First of all, that anointing is responsible for revelation. For revelation. You know, revelation of God's word. Because of that, what that means is that because of that anointing that you carry, remember I said, it's not an anointing you need to pray for. It's something you already carry. Because of that anointing that you carry already, okay, you can have light in God's word. So no believer is supposed to read the Bible and say, you know what, I'm just confused. I don't even understand what this pastor is saying. It's no longer your story. Because you carry the agent of revelation, the spirit of revelation. That anointing brings understanding, brings light. Look at that in this verse. The anointing you've received of the Holy One, of Him, abided in you, and you didn't know that any man teach you. He was talking about a particular context. He's not saying you don't need a teacher. But he's saying there's an anointing within you that teaches you all things. So even as I'm talking now, right, that anointing is working in everybody here that is yielding to it. He's explaining different things to you. He's showing you different. In fact, some people are even hearing more than I'm saying. That's why after, you know, I do this sometimes when I used to have a lot of time in my hand. After meetings, I call some of my sons and daughters and I say, bring your notes, let me see what you wrote. And sometimes they think I'm just trying to see if they were writing. Sometimes I'm just comparing notes and I'm just seeing how people are ministered to differently in church. Actually. How people are ministered. So you see people, so someone writes this, another person has omitted that in the other person wrote. You know, just different, because God is talking to us differently. That is why, again, when you come to church, you take note and you don't copy from somebody. The aim is not to be able to trap everything pastor said. Because what you are copying from somebody actually means something different for that person. I get the point. Now, it says, but can't I just, if I step and I come here, you can copy, it's fine. But the aim is not to actually copy everything someone else said and put your own notes. Because sometimes you know how you write. There is a reason you write some things that you write. Some things you write mean something personal to you. My pastor just said it. Hallelujah. Can somebody just we're talking about the comfort of the spirit on Sunday. And we're just writing. And because of that meditation, God began to speak to someone, say, son, you will never be broke. And the person just writes, I will never be broke. Now you are copying, you copy the same thing. You don't even know why did he write that? Well, child, you will never be broke at the end of the day. So he's still copying something good. You understand? So there is that anointing. It brings revelation. So that's why I say it again. You open your Bible. Don't ever think you will not understand. Just pray in the Holy Ghost. Ask the Holy Ghost to show you. He will open your eyes. He will open your eyes. He will open your eyes. He will teach you. Even when the teacher, physical teacher is teaching, the teacher is also working in your heart. I said on Sunday, again, the Holy Ghost is a person, right? So when he said the Holy Ghost teaches us, do not just see it as that is something that teaches me. There is a teacher inside of you. I get the point. There is a teacher inside of you that will teach you and explain some things to you. If I'm studying my Bible, I just get stuck. I just say, Father, thank you, Holy Ghost. I have revelation. That's what you just see me. I have understanding. I have clarity. As I'm saying that, I'm activating the ministry of the teacher. And then I begin to read it again. Sometimes you read it, you read it, you read it 3 times, 4 times. It begins to open up. Are you following me? So I said that anointing brings revelation. That anointing, again, births fervency in you. That's why no believer can say, you know, I'm cold. I just don't feel the fire. No. That is fervency in every believer. The Bible tells us, Psalm 110 and verse 3. It says, thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. So in the day of the power of God, one thing that will characterize that day is that there will be willingness in everybody. So as you're seated there now, that is willingness. So nobody can say, I can't be on fire. All this firefighting, all this fervency thing, I don't have it. You actually do. Because you carry the agency of fervency. That man that bets zeal and bets willingness in everyone, that personality is living inside of you. Again, I say the anointing leads. He leads. That's the indwelling spirit. He leads you. You see what I'm trying to do in this series? Before we begin to talk about how the anointing can cast out devils and all of that, you must understand what the anointing is doing for you and how to use that anointing for yourself. He will lead you. He will show you where to go. Jesus said he will show you things to come. He will show you things to come. The anointing is a leader. He will lead you to beautiful things. He will lead you to beautiful places. He will lead you out of trouble. I get what I'm saying. He will lead you out of trouble. He will lead you into abundance. He will lead you into relationships. He will. He will lead you. There is no area where the Holy Ghost cannot help you navigate. Because he's a leading spirit. He leads. He leads. And that's anointing you carry inside of you. Again, no believer should pray to receive this. You have it. What we are learning and what we should learn is how to yield to that spirit. And I can begin to show you, if you want to yield to this spirit, this anointing that leads. It's very simple. Ask him, wait on him, he will lead you. Yes. Ask him, wait on him, he will lead you. Just pray. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I acknowledge your leading. So, how do I get this anointing that lead, this leading anointing to lead me? This leading spirit. I want to embark on a business deal. And I sit down and I pray. Pray, pray, pray. Why am I praying and all of that? I'm asking him, do you want me to go? And when he says don't go, you don't go. Let me say something. And I'm saying this strictly by the Holy Ghost. If you have a culture of always disobeying your inward witness, you are silencing that voice. You are making that voice more dim. In your heart. It keep getting dim and dim until it will almost disappear. He says, go here. Another voice says, go, and you follow. Just keep disobeying. Gradually, the voice will become, he's still living inside of you. But you're not engaging. You will even stop hearing. He will keep speaking, but you'll stop hearing. Don't have a habit of disobeying your inward man. Don't have a habit of going against the anointing. Going against the Holy Ghost in your heart. Don't have that habit. Don't have that habit. It is better that you took a step thinking it was the Holy Ghost to find out it wasn't the Holy Ghost. It's even better like that. Then what is now missing is you need to learn how to listen to him. But at least you took a step thinking it was the Holy Ghost. That simply means you were really bothered whether God wanted you to do it or not. Some people don't even care. This is what I want to do. I cannot change my mind. Anybody that the Holy Ghost cannot change his mind is in trouble. Let me tell you, if I pack my bag, if I've packed my bag and I've told you what I'm traveling tomorrow, and I pray tonight and go say I'm not going anywhere, that bag is unpacked. And I'm not saying it is something I've been set on my way before. And God changed my mind about it. Turned me around. Now, it wasn't sweet, but I had to do it. Do not be someone that God cannot convince. That's how you become reprobate. That's how you have a difficult mind to convince. That's how, before you know, you stop hearing the voice of the Spirit. He will still be speaking, you could not be hearing it. In fact, there are some prophets, I said it on Sunday, that hear from God for other people. But they don't get no instruction about their lives. Because they do not follow what they hear. Are you guys getting what I'm talking about? And I don't know why God is bringing this warning. Do not be the person that will say, well, even though I feel that God wants me to do this, but sir, please, I want to do it. Can I just do it? Go ahead. And that's always my response. I don't think this is the person I should be with. But sir, I can't stop. I so love him. I said, fine, go ahead. He says, sir, why won't you stop him? So what the Holy Ghost cannot stop? Is it me that will stop the person? Or somebody did not stop him? Somebody heard from Holy Spirit and say he doesn't want. And you want me to talk? If he could disobey the Lord, my own voice is nothing. That's how I pray. If I send you to go pray about a thing, and I'm not praying about that thing, you find out that this is the right way to go. But you still tell me, sir, I still want to go the other way, I will encourage you. Encouragement may not be like I'll clap, I'll say, okay, fine. So why are you like that? What do you think? You think if I insist, the person will listen? Do you know how compelling the voice of the Holy Ghost is? Have you ever heard that voice of the Holy Ghost? In fact, if once he begins to talk, you can lose your sleep. Has that ever happened to you? When he's trying to, you can bring food to eat, you lose appetite because you know you are in the wrong. Now, that person ignores all of that. He will ignore my own. Don't worry. I don't stress myself. Because there is no way he will not talk to you. There is no way. Sometimes you lose your peace. You get up, you look at everything, you just know you are in the wrong. And you know. But Paul said the love of Christ constrained us. There is a compelling force of the Spirit. He is not loud. He won't shout. He won't yell at you. But you will know. And then someone ignores that. No, now. I will just encourage you. And my counsel is always, well, maybe you should pray more about this. Yes. Do not be someone, because that's actually how people stop hearing from God. Not because God stops speaking. Because they just keep ignoring. God says, go this way. I won't go this way. Go this way. And you keep going on your own. Well, God is not like me. He will not stop talking. But you will stop hearing. Because you've trained your ear to be set in your ways. I do not like people, and God doesn't like people who are set in their ways. Let me say something to you. If you are naturally stubborn, but there are people that are naturally stubborn, and there is nothing wrong with that. Is that okay? I'm just encouraging you. If you are naturally stubborn, there's nothing wrong with that. It's okay. Do you understand? Do you know anybody like that around you? You should be yourself. Yeah. If you're not stubborn, there's nothing wrong with that. Just know where to channel your stubbornness to. When God says a thing, be very stubborn about it. Know what to be stubborn to. When a sickness enters your body, stubbornly insist that it will go. When you are in lack, stubbornly insist that you get out of lack. Know what not to be stubborn to. Know when the Holy Ghost talks, you're proving stubbornness. You know the thing about the Holy Ghost, it doesn't shift ground for anybody. And that's the problem. If he tells you something this year, 18 years after, ask him. He will say that same thing that he said 18 years ago. So you are the one that has to catch up. He won't stop. That's why the things you wrote in your note 5 years ago are still valid. You are the one that did not do them. Yeah, he's still valid. So you see, he won't shift grounds for you. So to start with, he's even more stubborn than you. The Holy Ghost, he won't change his mind. He won't. Those are his love. His love. So when you shift and you are now getting into trouble, he will come through for you. He will deliver you. You know, I'm hearing a lot from the Holy Ghost. Don't mistake his coming through for you for his approval. Did you hear what I said? Don't mistake his coming through for you for his approval. He will come through for you. He will get out of the mess, but he has not still approved that he's still where he is. Such that if God says you should not start a church, and you go start a church, and the process of time, you run into debt, and you pray, and the debts are paid. It doesn't mean God has not approved that church. He's still where he is. The debt was paid. You released your faith. Your faith worked. Right? But then, if you still ask him, he will still tell you. You know, 2008, I went for mission work. I went to a church. The church we went to was a young man started a church. The church was doing well, at least at the level where they were. And they loved this man. But then, I was in Anglican church then. Few years down the line, the Lord told the man, I never called you to start a church. You said, I know very well. And the man yielded. And called the Anglican church, handed over the church to them. Yes. Handed over the church to them and went and submitted to the Anglican church. He's a venerable there now. If you know the Anglican church system, the venerable is the position you get to before you think of whether you're going to become a bishop or not. But yes, when they handed over that church, they now sent us to the church to go do some work because we encountered a tough time in that church. Because the people loved him. Jesus Christ. The people love any small thing. You see, if you give instruction, they will say, "Mwan ka ekpo no pastor." Any small thing, they love that man. So it's not like he was doing poorly at the job. But you know, the fact that you gathered 50 people, 100 people, God will still be where he is. I don't want you to do this, period. I get what I'm saying. So if you want to be stubborn, you are not more stubborn than the Holy Ghost. Nowhere to be stubborn because he will not stop. He won't shift ground for you. Is someone get what I'm saying? You see, the Holy Spirit is a lovely man. No, I'm not saying he's wicked. I'm not saying he will not shift ground for you. I get the point. If he says go and you do not go, he will not stop saying go. Right? He will not force you. He will wait for you to come around, but he's still where he is. If you are someone who does not want to shut down the voice of faith in your heart, yield to him a lot. Yield to that anointing a lot. Let him know. See what he said about Abraham. He said, I know Abraham that he will instruct his household to walk in my ways. Let God be able to say concerning you, I know this boy, that once I say a thing, he will listen to me. Be that person. That once I say something, or except he has not heard, except he's not sure. And I want to say this by the Spirit, that there are many things that will happen in your life for you to prove this thing I'm saying. It's not God that will bring those situations, but they will come. God will watch how you will act as a test of your heart. Yes. You know, I say this to people. There are difficult choices you have to make in life. And when your own difficult choice comes, make it. When you make that difficult choice and it's according to God's word, you are proving to God that he can trust you. That he can change your mind. I was talking to someone recently and I said, I'm not a follower of Pastor Benny Hinn. Right? I'm the follower of Benny Hinn. But you know, I was thinking about it. Do you know how hard it should have been for Benny Hinn to move from a pastor to an evangelist? Benny Hinn was pastoring a thriving church. Like, thriving church. They hosted ministers like even as your best friend that hosted, they preached in their church a couple of times. And then from one day, the church left the church, everything, handed the church over to someone, left everything, and went into field evangelism and all of that. Do you know what it takes to make that decision? Now, there are tough choices that you must make in your life. Those things are times where you have to prove to God and show God that if you demand this from me, I'm going to do it. And your own decision is going to come. And I wonder how you are going to cope when the simple thing God is telling you, don't go here, you enter bus and start going. So when he demands those kind of difficult things from your hand, How will you respond? There is a leader inside of you. Respond to him. He will always tell you what to do. So that tomorrow when he tells you, don't go there, don't be stubborn. When he says, let go of this matter, don't be stubborn. Are you what I'm saying? Now, that is how you respond to that anointing within that leads. If I'm opportuned on earth to write my biography, I'm going to talk about certain experiences where I had to make. I've made difficult choices in my life. Apart from many other things, there are three significant difficult decisions I've made in my life. Three. Each of them took me at least 2 to 3 years. Not because I was stubborn to the Lord, I was praying for his help. I get what I'm saying. One of them, many of you know, when it was time to change the structure of Champions Youth Foundation. I get that point? Who raises a ministry to about to hundreds of people, different territories and all of that, and one day stands up and shuts everything down and asks people to leave the ministry and brought the ministry from hundreds of people to less than, how many were we at that time? Some places less than 20, less than people just left. Who does that? Do you know how hard that thing was? To go from hosting meetings where there will be hundreds, where you now host your meeting, there will be about 30 or 40 people. And you just come in. And people say, hey, they've scattered everything. Oh, it has failed. Are you what I'm talking about? Now, there are times that if you are yielded to the Spirit, he will ask you to do more things. But then you are proving that he can trust you. And I tell you under God, God knows he can lift me from here to Rwanda tomorrow. Like he knows. Except he doesn't tell me. Like Rwanda, Zimbabwe, Mali. Maybe you say, yes, he can also lift me. Also one. Where? Amore. He knows he can lift me from here anytime. Glory to God. When I was saying Rwanda, I say, well, yes, he can. Who doesn't want to be lifted? Canada, yes. Right? U.S. UK, he can lift you, right? You are yielded. Hallelujah. Ekoshi, glory to God. You should be not yielded. God can just lift you to anywhere. And you just yield yourself. Just yield yourself. So that when there is an emergency down the road, God knows who he can go talk to. And the person will move immediately. Be that person. Be someone that God can stop. Because the Holy Ghost, I don't know why, but this is coming very strong. The Holy Ghost is both, this anointing within that leads. He's both an accelerator and a brake pad. Right? Do not just use the Spirit for accelerator. You know, as that throttle you have in a car. Just go, go, go. There is also the brake pad of the way he tells you to stop. What I mean is God will lead you through steps and stops. Sometimes he will ask you to move. Sometimes he will tell you to stop. Yield to both of them. Whether it's to go or to stop. Because many people enjoy the move of the Spirit. They don't enjoy the stop of the Spirit. They like to be firing. Paul and the rest came to a particular place to preach. The Holy Ghost stopped them. He stopped them. Are you following me? The anointing of the Spirit will stop you certain times. He will restrict your movements. He will restrict and yield to it. Because I just told you, the anointing of the Holy Ghost in all of us lead. He leads us. But people are wondering, why doesn't he lead me? This might be the reason. But he tries to tell you, you are very stubborn. When he says, go there, he says, I'm going to do my thing. Maybe to start with, you don't even care what his will is. So you don't even take time to pray. You don't even take time to ask him. You don't even care about that. And some of you, when he finally tells you, you just do your thing. I'm just going to go the way I want to go. And this is my life. This is my life. It's my life. At the end of the day, it's your life. No one let me tell all of this is that I said, told you that if someone already knows what to do by the Spirit and says he or she will not do it, I will not force you to do it. I won't. I can only push you further to pray if I'm not convinced that you are sure. But if I get to a point where I find out that you're already sure of what God wants, or you want to set on your ways, I will not stop you. And I will not be angry with you. I just want to be like the Holy Spirit. I'll keep loving you, but I won't stop you. Because if I try to stop you, you will still not agree to stop. I get the point. Say amen. Amen. You know, the day you are preparing to go to a boy's house as a lady, a lady preparing to visit you, and you know that is totally outside the will of God, you cannot deny that you are not hearing the voice of God when you are wearing your clothes. You see, when you carry the bucket to go and bath, you cannot lie. You are hearing. You started singing loud, Jesus, you love. The thing was still there. You are fighting it. When you started dressing up, the thing was there. When you stood up, you went to the bus stop. The first bus passed. You stopped. It did not stop. The Holy Ghost said, I made that bus not to stop. Go home. He said, it's a lie. The next keke stop, the second keke insulted you. Carry this, your foolish face, and move. The Holy Ghost said, I'm just delaying you. You'll be hearing. You know, I say, yes, yes, yes. The Holy Ghost said, okay, call your pastor now. You say, never. Never. Call him so that he will tell me. Suddenly that time, your call rings, your cell leader is calling you. You refuse to pick it. Because you know he's going to ask you, where are you? You know what is happening? You are fighting something. You are training your heart that we will not always obey this guy. Then you get there and come back and say, I don't know how everything happened. You know, sometimes I just imagine the Holy Ghost standing by the side looking at you. You don't know how this thing happened. Wait. When you were arranging your, when you were dressing, I told you, when you were good, I told you. You got to a junction, I made sure you didn't find bus for like 15 minutes, and I kept telling you, go home, go home. You called a cabman. Because you have made up your mind, you must get there. Now you got there, you say, I don't know how it happened. If I'm speaking to you by the Spirit, just know that I'm talking to you actually. But I'm actually narrating somebody's exact experience. It's the anointing of the Holy Ghost. He's now leading me now. To say certain things. Yield to him. Yield to him. Glory to God. So that anointing leads. That anointing, you know, comforts, right? Was it in a recap? Like 1 hour is gone. Well, I love the Spirit of God. Hallelujah. And one of the ways God comes to us is by emphasis. He just brings emphasis on certain things and just keep hammering the thing. Amen. What this is telling you is, you know, the power of repetition. I'm preaching exactly what I preached on Sunday so far now. I can repeat it on Sunday. The same note. The same scriptures. But he will bring different emphasis to people's hearts. That's the whole. It's the spirit of utterance. Everything I'm saying now, I didn't say on Sunday. But it's the same thing I'm talking about. And that's why it's good. I know in the course of this series, I'm going to get to a point where we start talking about ministering by the anointing. But then how to teach by utterance. Well, so that anointing comforts. It brings comfort to people's heart. You know, and that's to tell you, by the reason of the anointing of the Holy Ghost inside of you, you are never alone. You are never without help. You are never without comfort. And I said on Sunday, may you know the comfort of the Spirit. Because he's a standby. Do you remember that? He's a standby. He's an advocate. He's a helper. He will help you. And I wish you can understand this. He will comfort you. And I told you on Sunday, the comfort of the Spirit is not just a pat on the back. It's actually something that will fix the problem totally. It doesn't just comfort you by patting your back. He fixes what the issue is. Amen. And let me add what I didn't add on Sunday. The fifth thing, the anointing within doors. Let's see if we can begin to get into today gradually. Is the anointing within, and I want to add this particularly, you know, that births, you know, there are certain signs. Let me start with that. There are certain signs that follow a believer. Mark 16 tells us these signs shall follow them that believe. I was teaching on this yesterday at Essex. These signs shall follow them that believe. Now, that particular verse is the anointing within that works out the manifestation of the Spirit in us. That's what I'm going to say. is the anointing of the anointing within, or the believer's anointing, that is responsible for the manifestation of the Spirit in us. Things like, in my name they shall cast out devils. This doesn't belong to any special apostle. It is them that believe. They shall speak in new tongues. No special apostle. Them that believe. So, because of the anointing within that the believer carries, every believer can cast out devils. This is anointing within. Every believer can speak in new tongues. Every believer can drink the latest to not hurt him. Every believer can lay hands on the sick. It is the anointing within that works out these things. So, even, see what I'm trying to say? Manifestation of the Spirit is not exclusive to some pastor. It is the function of the anointing within. Casting out of devils is the function of the believer's anointing. So everyone that is a believer can actually cast out devils by that anointing within. So someone is sick. You know, I said this before I even knew that there was a call of God upon my life. Before I began to operate by maybe the pastor's anointing or the apostle's anointing or what have you. By that anointing within, I've been laying hands on the sick, they've been getting well. By that anointing within, that spirit within, I've been speaking with new tongues. By that spirit within, I've been casting out devils. By that spirit within, that anointing within. So there is an anointing within every believer that can cast out devils. Do you know, I was saying it in SET yesterday. This verse did not say that these signs shall follow the apostles. Look at that very closely. Jesus was not telling them the signs that will follow them. Mm-mm. Don't mix it up. Verse 15, he said, go into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Right? Verse 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. Verse 17, these signs shall follow them that believe. So them that believe what? The things you went to preach to them. So he wasn't telling the apostles about signs that will follow them. He was telling the apostles of the things that will happen to people that will listen to them and believe in what they are saying. So these are the signs for every believer. The way it appears in the original is, these signs shall follow the believing ones. And I'm a believing one. I get the point. They shall speak with new tongues, cast out devils, lay hands on the sick, drink their living. It's something that follows the believing ones. So the believer's anointing is responsible for miracles. Yes, there are people that may be specially anointed to work certain kind of miracles. That's going to happen because of the assignment. If someone has been sent to maybe minister specially to lands and countries where they don't believe in Jesus, or maybe Islamic nations and all of that, there are some special expressions that you find in that person. But hear me what I'm going to say. Every believer basically carries an anointing that can heal the sick. Every believer carries an anointing that can cast out devils. Every believer will not be an apostle, but every believer carries an anointing that can cast out devils, raise the dead. Every believer. On the day of Pentecost, there were 120 in the upper room. All of them spoke with tongues. All. In Cornelius' house, Cornelius invited his friends and relatives. All of them spoke with tongues. There was no place, hear me, no single case in the Bible where some people gathered for the move of the Spirit and some received and others did not receive. Not one case. Go and read your Bible. The book of Acts, not one case. Are you getting the point? Not one case. I was seen talking about it in SET yesterday. Acts chapter 2, all of them received. Right? Acts chapter 10, the house of Cornelius, all of them received. Acts chapter 19, Paul met 12 guys, all of them. Are you trying to say that these guys were special? No, they were just believers. So by the believer's anointing now, you can heal the sick. Again, the question is, why don't I now heal the sick? I'm coming to that very shortly now. Why don't some people now heal the sick? We are now talking about responding to the anointing, because some people will never respond. Just like we said, why are some people not led by the Spirit, whereas all of us carry the Holy Ghost in us? Response. I get the point? Yielding to Him. So we all carry this anointing of the Holy Ghost in us. that enables us to cast out devils, to heal the sick, to raise the dead in all of us. In all of us. And it's a good time for me to say to you that you must, by what I've explained to you now, you must desire to flow in the anointing of the Spirit. You must desire to flow. Why is it necessary? Because look at what the anointing does. Look at everything I've said the anointing does. Can you possibly have a successful Christian life without the anointing of the Holy Ghost? Is it possible? I thought the anointing is the one that brings revelation. That means if you don't engage the anointing, you will be an olodo in scriptural matters. I get the point. I thought the anointing births fervency. It means God responds to that anointing. You are going to be so cold. The life of a Christian is not possible without the enabling of the Holy Ghost. He must know how to yield to that spirit. He must know how to respond to that anointing. He must. That anointing brings revelation. How can you possibly live and not have revelation? That's what I'm saying. The Bible is like your brain is jamming. Fervency. Imagine living life without the leading of the Spirit. Living life without knowing where you are going to. So when we say every believer must live by the anointing, it is because it is the anointing, the Holy Ghost, that makes the Christian life possible. That even makes it enjoyable. In fact, to even live right, the Bible calls those fruit the fruit of the Spirit. See, imagine you don't know how the anointing, the Holy Ghost works. You can't even live by those fruits. You can't even do that. Hallelujah. So what is that? Think of someone that wants to do his Christian life, doesn't know how to walk by the Spirit and how to engage the Holy Ghost inside of him. He will not have divine leading. Comfort of the Spirit. No, there are many believers that don't have the comfort, that don't enjoy the comfort of the Spirit. So the Christian life is not actually possible. And if you try to do it, it becomes mechanical without the anointing. The Christian life becomes mechanical without the anointing. I can also add, ministry becomes mechanical without the anointing. Without that enabling of the Holy Ghost, everything about Christianity is mechanical. Mechanical. You must know how to engage the Spirit of God in you, to flow in that Spirit. Because mechanical. Are you following me? Glory to God. I say glory to God. I'll get to this much more on Sunday, but let's leave that for now. Because mechanical, it is difficult. I will show you, maybe we'll get there on Sunday, how that from Jesus to the apostles, everyone that did ministry. Jesus never started his ministry until he was baptized. And when he was baptized, Bible said the Spirit came upon him. That's when he started ministry. Because you cannot actually do ministry without the anointing of the Holy Ghost. That's why when we get to other classifications of the anointing, maybe the anointing of an apostle, you cannot function as an apostle without the anointing of the Holy Ghost in that context. You can't. You can't be a pastor without anointing. Pastor without anointing is very boring, very annoying, and very impossible. You will get tired. Amen. Well, you pastor without anointing, for instance, because one thing the anointing of the pastor does, when we get there, we're going to look at it. Not today. But anointing of the pastor knows things. That's one thing. A pastor is actually a manifestation of word of knowledge. A pastor knows things about people. Now, sometimes he doesn't even know how he knows. A pastor by the anointing can look at someone and tell you the way this person is going. 3 years' time, see what's going to happen. He just knows it. Do you understand the point? Go and read about Jesus. Jesus knowing their heart. Jesus knowing their thoughts. Jesus knowing what they were thinking. That's the anointing of the pastor. Now, imagine a pastor is pastoring without an anointing. Pastors that pastor that anointing, they are just investigative journalists. So they want to notice about people. They set trap. You get the point. They send people go and find that they are spying on people. What are they discussing? Now, there's nothing wrong with investigation in ministry. Okay? There's investigation in ministry. Don't you think so? Huh? There's nothing wrong. I can show you in the Bible. There's investigation in ministry. So that when you hear that, this brother did this, the job of the leadership should be to investigate. You should be able to send, okay, find out, did he do that? You don't just pick up things and run. I get what I'm saying. So you investigate. So I'm not against investigation totally. I'm only saying that is not how a pastor should pastor primarily. A pastor should pastor by the anointing. There are things you should just know. So if I want to find out whether you are spiritual, whether I take your prayer life seriously, it should go beyond, you know, me sending someone to your house to find out, does he pray every morning? It should go beyond that. To just looking at you and I can see that this one, nothing there, dear. As I tell you, a genuine pastor, you can hardly lie to a pastor. You gotta keep this in, I told you somewhere. If you try it, you will know. But because of this pastoral, if you lie to a prophet, he can tell you there and then. But the way a pastor functions, you can lie to him, he will just smile and say it's okay. Some have tried it here. Some people, is after 7 months, they find out that, so pastor, you know I was lying that day.
Yes.
And if you ever lied to me, I actually knew you were lying. Now, actually, it's just an anointing of the Holy Ghost. You look at what Peter, they lied to Peter. Say, did you sell this land for this much? He said, yes, for this much. Ah, it's not Peter, he tried that in it. He said, how dare you lie to the Holy Ghost? A genuine pastor, because you know why? God, Bible said the Holy Ghost has made them overseers. He cannot possibly make me an overseer over you and hide information from me about you. He won't do that. So what am I overseeing? If I don't know about you, why am I overseeing you? How can I oversee someone I don't know anything about? I get the point. The Holy Ghost has made them overseers. When you see, as I'm standing here and looking at all of you, I know people who are feeling guilty. I see it in their eyes, even if they're smiling. I know people who don't care about what I'm saying. I'm just telling the truth. I get to the point. Even this afternoon, I was telling my wife, that's also this person walked into church feeling very guilty. He said, why? I said, because something, look at what happened on Saturday. The person, I've never spoken to that person till now about it. But I just know it. You get the point? And Mary hid all these things in her heart. Now that's how you pastor by the anointing. You can't possibly pastor by spying. They can't find out. What did the person say? Imagine a prophet who is a spy. Before they, you know, people do that today. Some have forced themselves to become prophets. Prophet by force. And I tell you, before they come to your church, they send people to go and get details. Have you seen that anywhere? Anybody? I have, actually. They send people to come to church and get details. You may know that's what they're doing. Maybe we invite a prophet, not here. Not here. Those kind of people won't come here. I'm not saying prophets cannot come. I say those kind of people. Do you understand? Person is supposed to minister here like 3 weeks after. So a random person just enter the church and begin to interact with people randomly, getting to know them, getting to know their phone number, and they just that random interaction. After that, he goes back and gives the prophet details. He comes to church and next begins to call phone numbers of people. What people have gathered. That is trying to do ministry not only without the anointing, but by a demon, by a demonic spirit. That is attracting curses upon your life. That is planning to die young. Do you know what you are doing? You're not saying the Holy Ghost said. Where he didn't say. You're not even afraid. Do you know what Holy Ghost is? You are even not afraid to say the Holy Spirit. You know, I taught you on reverence, right? Everybody should have the fear of God. The fear of God is not that you're afraid of God, but there's a little of afraid inside. Like, you're not afraid of God. If God has ever acted around you, you should be afraid of him. Every time you read your Bible, you should know God is not a person you just mess around. And that's what people don't understand. Thank God for the love of God, though. Thank God for his love. And pray you don't meet men of God who don't know that love too much. Because they would deal with you. You say, but I thought God is love. The same power of God that we cure cancer, we place cancer on someone. Let's just enter the heart of one prophet like that. Because sometimes people say, I'm human. So that our emotions can mix up with this anointing thing. So as you are doing that rubbish you are doing, you must just fall down there and die. That's what I'm trying to say. You are forging phone number.
saying, thus says the Lord. Thus says which Lord? The Lord you've not spoken to in 3 weeks. How can he speak to you?
I get what I'm saying now.
You can't possibly do ministry without the anointing. You just get yourself in trouble. You can't even do the Christian life without the anointing. How will you be led by the Spirit? How will you know what to do and what not to do? When you are in trouble, who will comfort you? How will you get comfort? You think comfort comes by patting your back? When God comforts you, you'll be comforted. When God strengthens you, you'll be strengthened. I'm telling you. When he strengthens you, you'll be strengthened. I've seen God strengthen. Yes. That they say normally this, for someone to move from this emotional issue, it will take 3 weeks. Someone is out of it in 2 days. As well as when it's a love matter, the other party will keep asking, did he really love me? He moved on too quickly. Oh God, we really loved you. It's just that when God helped you, you'll be helped. I'm telling you. And if he really loved that, how come he moved on so quickly? So what would have been your joy? What would you have been happy about? That he's crying for 2 months. You know, that meant he's acting in Nollywood. I don't live by Nollywood. I don't do that. You find someone, you say, he lost a loved one. The next week, he's busy preaching. He never cared about his father. He did. It's just that when God comforts you, when he strengthens you, you'll be strengthened. And let me even say this to you. Stop flexing your pain. Stop flexing it. Say, it's been 2 weeks, 652 minutes since. What happened? Okay, let God help you. I get the point. It's good to die anniversary for the dead, just to remind yourself. But I hope you're not using it to reawaken your pain. He said, everywhere still feels void and dark and empty without you. Let me tell you, wake up. Wake up. Let God fill the void. It's difficult to lose someone. So I'm not making light of that. And if you think I make light of that, I've lost my dad. So I'm not saying it's an easy thing. I'm only saying you cannot keep romancing your pain forever. I know what I'm talking about. Let God fix you. What have you lost? I know a woman called Mara Woodward-Etta that in one lifetime lost 2 husbands, buried 6 children. Still kept on doing ministry. It's only the comfort of spirit that can help you. If not, we break down and become a wretched person out of depression. Buried 2 husbands, 6 children in one lifetime. That's where people begin to ask, did God actually call me? If it's in heaven. People actually say that about her. That if she's doing the right thing, how come her children are dying? How come this is happening? There are things we don't have answers to. But when God comforts you, you will be comforted. You will enjoy his comfort. So you cannot possibly do life without the anointing. You can't do life. Oh, thank you. You cannot actually enjoy life without the anointing. You cannot. So you must flow. Yield yourself to that anointing. Do I still have time? Okay. Yield yourself to the anointing. Yield yourself to the anointing. And that's why I'm going to close today by saying, grow in the anointing. Now, it's good to say, I mean grow in the anointing within. That's what I'm saying. Now, the anointing within is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost cannot be increased. Remember again, I explained it on Sunday. You will think the Holy Ghost can be increased if you still view the Holy Ghost as a thing, or you view him as an object. But if you see the Holy Ghost as a person, do you understand? It means if he's in you, he's there. His head cannot be there and his hand is not there. So he's perfect. So the Holy Ghost cannot be increased. However, like I've always explained, it is you that needs to grow in the anointing. When God gives anointing, he gives you complete dosage. But there is need for us to grow in that anointing. So what does it even mean to grow in the anointing? What does it mean? When we talk about growing the anointing, we're saying a few things. One, we are talking about being more conscious of the anointing. When you grow in the anointing, you become more conscious of that anointing. That's what growth means. To grow in the anointing is to become more conscious of the anointing. To grow in the anointing is
to learn to trust that anointing in them all. To learn to trust that, to be more confident in that anointing. To be more confident in the anointing. I can tell you, when you are not yet growing in the anointing, when you are still at a certain level in your growth in the anointing, there is a level where you will be, and then God will talk to you about something. About, do this. And you are still, you are just confused. How am I sure it's God? How am I sure it's not God? What if it is not God? Well, you know, that's, now, it doesn't mean you don't have anointing, it means you are still growing. When you grow to a certain point in that anointing, you will learn to be more confident. You learn how to trust that anointing anymore. So you see, that's what growth does. It's not like God will begin to speak louder. You will just know how to recognize his voice better. That's growth. It's not like the comfort of the Spirit will become more. It's just that you will learn to yield to it, to even recognize it better. Yes. So, growing the anointing is to become more conscious, is to become more confident. To grow in the anointing is to, when you grow in the anointing, you begin to learn how to engage him the more. How to engage the anointing the more. Right? You begin to learn how to engage the anointing. Like I just showed you, many people are anointed, they don't know how to engage the anointing. What it is like someone that, oh, thank you, Spirit of God. Hallelujah. It's like someone that has a phone, because I just got this in my spirit right now. It's like someone that has a phone. Now, there are many kinds of phone. Okay? Now, so you know people can have, many people use Apple. Let me use that for example. iPhone. But many people don't actually use iPhone to 20% of what that phone can do. They just love iPhone because it's iPhone. So they buy it. What do they do with it? They make call. What else? Browse the internet. Snap picture. What else? There are possibly other things that phone can do. Are you aware? Many other things that... When another person carries that phone and uses it, if I even the picture you are snapping, there are people that will touch that your iPhone camera and snap. You are wondering, is it my phone that snapped this one? Now, the phone never developed new abilities. The person just knows how to use it better. When you grow in the anointing, you will know that the ability of the Spirit of God in you is vast. As you grow, you learn how to engage him more. You learn how to engage him more. That is so much the Spirit of God can do in you. So much. Just like when people carry, iPhone is one thing. Another thing is like, people carry some power, some systems. You buy some of these very recent generation of computers and all of that. Imagine you carry, what is the latest one now? Or a very recent one? Huh? What? MacBook M2. Does that one have all this generation? Huh? That's what he's saying. Imagine you carry some of these recent stuffs and you go and give to a student in first year. Say you give the person, you bought the system like 3.8 million. You go give the student. Say, oh, thank you, thank you. You see, all she should be doing with it is she'll wake up, put movie, watch. Any day they give them paper, you type it, close the system. Now you by the side will be looking, are you mad? Do you know what you are carrying in your hand? That's how it is. What most of us do with the Holy Ghost is just watch movie, do them paper. I got what I'm saying now. Just tongues. That's all. Do you know how much more? As you grow in the anointing, you know there is a vast deposit of the ability of God on your inside. You are not just aware. As you grow in the anointing, you will see much more. You learn to engage the Holy Ghost much more. People just carry things that they don't know what they're carrying. I've seen it with phones. I'm not really a system person. Like, I don't know much about, but there are some things I know that they actually have more capacity than others. Yeah. Some of the systems that people carry and are just watching VLC can carry some softwares that can actually change the person's life and make the person a millionaire. But just carrying the VLC. If you don't understand, if it's just VLC and whatever, your phone can do that. So why did you buy a system?
Do you know what I'm saying? Why did you buy a system? There is a lot more. There is so much more. Beyond typing on Microsoft Word, there is much more. There is much more. Just like an application like that, or a software like that in the system is Excel. Who can use Excel here? Anybody? Just raise your hand. Who took a course on Microsoft Excel? Anybody? If you know that Excel can actually do everything, you can more than you can imagine or think. But some people will just key in figures and they are fine. When you see people that have taken advanced courses on that, they will open that software and begin to do many things with it. You're wondering, what did you do? It's Excel. Every app is like that. Photoshop. By the time they begin to use it for something, they'll be like, what app did you use for this? It's Photoshop. It's in every, even keyboard. There's some keyboards you're going to bring here this year. All this recent montage, we're going to bring them here this year. Now, you find out the first time we give it to you, some people just play Do, Re, Mi, Fa, and they go. There is so much more. Some of those keyboards can actually be used for production, for musical production. But the average keyboard just comes and presses Do, So, Fa, and goes home. But there is so much more. Now, somebody now begins to teach you. It is not the keyboard developing new abilities. It is you growing in the ability of the keyboard. You are the one learning how to engage more. Look within, there is so much more. As you grow in that anointing, the anointing will not become more powerful than it has always been. But you learn how to engage more of that spirit. That's why in this series we're going to talk about how to grow in the anointing. How to grow yourself in the anointing. How to grow yourself in the anointing. Let me take 10 more minutes. Is that okay? 10 more minutes. And let's see where God will take us. Whether we'll stop at 10. Glory to God. Oh, glory to God. When you grow in the anointing. When you grow in the anointing. When you grow in the anointing. And one of the ways to grow in the anointing, I just want to talk about is comb it a little and come back to it on Sunday. So that I can go home with something. One of the ways to grow in the anointing is to grow in the knowledge of Christ. To grow in the knowledge of Christ. 2 Peter 3 and verse 18. He said, grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. How to actually grow in grace is to grow in the knowledge of Christ. I think it's 1 Peter 1 and verse 2 that said, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1 verse 2. I'm correct. Put it up. 1 Peter 1 verse 2. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. As you grow in the knowledge of Christ, hallelujah. Look at it. Elect according to the knowledge of God the Father through sanctification of the Spirit unto obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ. Grace unto you and peace be multiplied. Hallelujah. And how is grace multiplied? That's the verse that says through the knowledge of Christ. I need to get that verse. How is grace and peace multiplied? It is multiplied through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so you notice, you want to grow in the anointing, grow in knowledge. Knowledge, that's why study your Bible. Learn about Jesus. Learn about Christ. Learn the gospel. As you know the thing about it, as you're learning about Christ, one of the things you do that happens when you're learning about Christ is that you're also learning about your abilities in Him. Because to learn about Christ simply means to learn what, okay, let me start with this, to learn who He is, what He has done, who you are as a result of what He has done, what you have because of what He has done, and what you can become because of what He has done. I said it again. To learn about Christ is to learn who He is, what He has done for you on the cross, who you are because of what He has done, what you have because of what He has done, what you can become because of what He has done. That's what it means to learn about Christ. For instance, who is Christ? He's a Savior. How has He saved us? Now that He has saved us, who are we now?
We are righteous. We are holy. We are sanctified. What do we have now? We have His Spirit. We have His power. We have His authority. What can we become? Well, we can become men that can save others. We can become men that will be used of Him. That's what we need to learn about Christ. As you learn more about Christ, His abilities in you will gain much more expression. And this is not hard. Just like what I explained to you. If you are carrying that kind of system that can do many things by just using for Microsoft Word and whatever, what is the way out? Let somebody teach you knowledge. Let someone teach you. Say, this system you are carrying, see what to do, see what to do. Once they teach you about Christ, you will make more progress in anointing. Once they teach you about Christ, you will learn to follow Him better. When they teach you about Christ, you will learn to respond to Him better. When you learn about Christ, that's why, again, going to church does you good. Especially when you go to a church where they will teach you about Christ. Reading Christian books does you good. Reading your Bible does you good. It's how you make progress in the anointing. But Hagin said, if people will just listen to the word of God and pray, they will grow in the anointing. As simple as that. Because once you are paying attention to God's word and you are learning God's word, you are making progress in the anointing. You are learning more of who you are. You are learning more of how to use that anointing. That's why knowledge is powerful. I'm going to challenge you to get into your Bible. Who is Jesus? Who is Jesus? What has He given to you? What has He done? Because again, you find out the reason many people don't flow in the anointing as they should is because they don't even know what that anointing can do in them. How will they know? Somebody has to teach them. They have to learn. They have to learn. For instance, how I explain this comfort thing on Sunday. Many of you never saw it from that light, that you can actually be grieving, the Holy Ghost will comfort you. But it's actually a reality. It's actually real. If that ever happened to you, you will experience it one day. I'm telling you. As you will comfort, as in, you can just pray and you find this peace. Paul calls it peace that passes all understanding. How come some have never experienced it? Because they're not even aware that such a thing can happen. How will they know where they don't open their Bible? How will they know when they don't go to church? How will they know when they will not invest in their intellectual life? They will not read. They will not study. They will not listen to anything. They are just there. So why are you complaining that you cannot make progress in anointing, whereas you don't even invest in yourself? You don't read nothing. You want to suddenly know how to heal the sick, but you don't even learn about Jesus. Invest. I'm not saying go and learn about anointing particularly. Just be learning about Jesus. Just learn the Bible. Read your Bible. As you are learning the word of God, you are actually making progress. You are growing better. You are learning how to use the anointing better. As simple as that. I get the point. Grow your knowledge of Christ. Second thing I'm going to say is, make progress in your faith walk. As you make progress in your faith walk, you are learning how to actually grow in, you are actually growing the anointing. When you learn how faith works, right? You're already learning how the anointing works. As you grow your faith walk, faith will teach you to trust Jesus better. Oh, thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Make progress in your faith walk. Because actually, you know, I think it's Romans 12 and verse 6. If I'm not mistaken, Romans 12 and verse 6. That talked about, he said, if anyone will prophesy, let him prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Let him prophesy. So actually, you flow in the Spirit to the level of faith. Let me be loose with this one. Level of faith that you have. Because, come on now, if you learn how faith works properly, and you know how to engage your faith better, when we ask you to go lay hands on the sick, you will do it easily. I get the point. We'll ask you now, even when God tells you, for instance, if you've learned how faith works, if you've learned how to trust God absolutely, for instance, if God says, by His leading, don't go to that street, you will obey because you've learned how to trust Him, that His will is better. So, as you make progress in your work, faith work, you will get better in the anointing. Can I add one more thing? Pray. Grow in your prayer life. You cannot possibly engage the anointing of God more and get to its full capacity if you do not have a prayer life. building up yourself, Jude 20 tells us, on your most holy faith, praying in the Spirit. Pray. You see all this I'm telling you about what the anointing can do. One of the ways to activate them and release yourself to them is to pray. For instance, if you are passing through a lot and you just need help, you want God to just come through for you, don't just stand there and be crying. Start praying. When you are praying, you open yourself up. You open yourself. That's actually what happens. When you pray, you open yourself up. Everything I'm teaching you now, the anointing leads. How do you expose yourself to lead? How do you even get what he's saying? Pray. When you have a prayer life, you are more yielded to the leading of the Spirit. Not only are you more yielded to get that leading, you're also more yielded to obey it. The problem with not having a prayer life is that when you don't have a solid prayer life, not only will you not know what God wants you to do, even if you get to know what he wants you to do, you cannot still obey it. Let me tell you, instructions that come by prayer can only be obeyed by prayer. Look what I'm trying to say. If on Saturday, God gives you an instruction on what you're going to carry out in 3 weeks' time, and by that 3 weeks' time, you no longer have a prayer life, let me tell you, you will not be able to do that thing. You won't. Even let me even say it to you. That is why in church, people make pledge they don't fulfill. Because before they made that pledge, they were in the place of prayer, were praying, and the Spirit has been said, and God tells them, write that you're going to give 15 naira, and he writes 15 naira. When he's trying to fulfill it, he's no longer praying. He no longer has a solid work with the Spirit of God. He's even wondering, what the heck made me write 15 naira here? Am I mad? I know what I'm talking about. Because at the end of the day, what you received in prayer can be accomplished by prayer. So prayer not only tells you what God wants you to do, he tells you, or it helps you to do it. It doesn't just show you where you need to go. It helps you get there. Why do you think people pray and come out and tell you, look at what God said I should do? But when it's time to do it, they cannot do it. They are so sure God told them, but they don't have the strength to do it. Because what the Spirit has said, the Spirit has to empower you to do it. Because you can never carry out any instruction from the Spirit of God in the flesh. The flesh can never please God. The flesh can never please God. The flesh can never fulfill the agenda of God. Never. That's why in January, people's notes are full with what God wants them to do. By the end of the year, they've not done anything. Do you know why? Because people's prayer life are heightened in January. Have you observed that? People pray a lot in January. In January, there's a lot of fasting. Have you observed? So in all those fasting, 30 days fasting, 21 days fasting, pray a lot, do this, immersion, retreat, this one. God gives instruction. Within the year, their prayer life keeps dwindling. Where do you think do we find strength to do what God asks you to do? What came by prayer can be carried out by prayer. You get the point? God's instruction can be carried out only by his help. Without his help, you can never do anything he asks you to do. Never. Never. Oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. So, you want to make progress in anointing? Pray a lot. Have a prayer life. The gifts of God are in heightened operation in the man that prays. The gifts of God are in heightened operation in the man that prays. The man that prays will not have in itself, will not have the comfort of the Spirit more than any other person, but he will experience it more than any other person. The man that prays will not have divine leading more than others, but he will experience divine leading more than others. The man that prays will not have healing power more than others, but he will heal the sick more than others. Because the gifts of God are in their heightened state in the man that prays. Even when we get to every other anointing, the healing anointing, all of those things, we will still talk about prayer. Because everything God has given to you by prayer, you enjoy it in prayer too. Pray. Pray. This is actually the missing. That's the problem. The anointing best fervency. How come I'm not fervent? That's you have a prayer life. Look at this. The anointing brings revelation. But look at what Paul did in Ephesians 1. He still prayed for them for revelation. Do you understand? Even though the Holy Ghost brings revelation, but he prayed for them. So don't say, I have the Holy Ghost. One day say, I understand. If you don't have a prayer life, you will not understand Jack. You won't. Because what happens is that your prayer life, when you are praying, you are giving expression to that spirit of revelation that is working inside of you. That's why we say you should pray before a service. That's why we start service with opening prayer. It's not a routine. We want you to pray and open up yourself to the spirit of revelation. That's why. So that's why when you come to us and we're praying, opening prayer, walking up and down, or you come in late, you don't even want to pray and all that, you will just hear sometimes 30% of what was said in the service. Sometimes. Because we all have the same Holy Ghost in us. But when we pray, the operations of that spirit are in its heightened state. Have a prayer life. As some of you, I want to give this as an instruction and correction. Some of you need to step up. You started doing 30 minutes every day last year. Step up this year. Make it 1 hour. Step up. You must always be making progress in your prayer life and not going down. Step up. So if what you were doing last year, you were praying when you could. Stop praying when you can this year. Have a routine now around your prayer life. Make sure, at the end of the day, make sure you do something extra about your prayer life. Do something extra about your prayer life. Do something extra about your study life. Some of you are just studying the Bible. Anytime you remember, you open the Bible and read. Can we make it every day now? Okay, even if it is one chapter, read it. Start from somewhere. Read the book of John. Go to the epistles. Even if it is one chapter every day. Don't read your Bible when you can. Read your Bible every day. Every day. I get to the point. If you go for knowledge of God's word and give yourself to prayer, you will grow in the anointing. No. You grow in the anointing. You see this thing called the leading of the Spirit, you begin to hear much more. Not only will you hear, you'll be empowered to obey. Higher. You'll be empowered to obey. Let me give you a very big secret. Anytime you know what God wants you to do, but you do not have both the strength and the willingness to do it, go and pray. When you pray, not only do you have the willingness, you have the strength. Did Jesus not know that God wanted him to go to the cross? He knew. But when the time to go to the cross came, he became scared, he became tired, he became sorrowful, he became heavy. What did he do? He told these guys, watch with me. He went to Gethsemane and began to pray. He prayed the first time, 1 hour. He came back and told them, so you guys couldn't watch with me for 1 hour. He prayed the second time. He did it for like 3 times. That's like 3 hours. When he finished, he came up and said an angel came and strengthened him. So as he was going to the cross, not once did he back out. The strength to do God's will is in prayer. Because how to even know God's will is in prayer. So what you got to know by prayer, can only do by prayer. You are in a city now where you are so convinced God wanted you to be here. But now things are not working well for you. You are really reconsidering. Just pray. Pray. Have a prayer life. Solid prayer life. You will find strength. And even what to do next. Because some people that are there, you are in this place and you are tired. Even though you know God wants you to be here, but nothing is working. It's because, thank you Spirit of God, it's because you've not gotten from the Lord to the next step to take. Go to prayer, he will tell you the next thing to do. Because some people, things are not working out because you're not taking the next step. You are still dwelling on yesterday's instruction. And I'm seeing it. You are still on yesterday's instruction. That's why things are not working. Ask him what is next for today. Ask him. He will show you what is next for today. He has never misled anybody. So when it's not working, ask him. The problem is that he told you to come and stay. You obeyed. You came. And you're just sitting down. What happened to your prayer life? He will tell you other things you have to do. Other steps you have to take. Yeah. That's why people get into ministry and they get frustrated. Because how did they get into ministry? They prayed a lot and the Lord said, go, I've called you to be a pastor. They got in prayer. They obey. They enter the pastoral ministry. They forget their prayer life. You will get tired because any instruction you get by prayer can be sustained by prayer. I get the point. So, your prayer life. And then the last thing I'm going to say today is yield to that anointing the more. That's one way to grow in it. Any anointing, any grace of God upon your life that you keep yielding to, you keep using. Let me say it that way. That you keep using, you will get better with it. If you keep yielding to the Holy Ghost, you will always yield to the Holy Ghost. Now you get better with it. It will get to a time that you will know exactly what to do, even without praying. Without praying much, I mean. Without going to pray about a particular need, you just know. Because anything you keep using, we keep growing. Or, can I put it this way, you keep growing in it. You keep growing in it. Right? Every ability of God I've shown you, and the other one you find in the Bible that is contained in the belief, that is resident in the believer. Once you yield yourself more to it, you will grow more in it. You will grow more in anything. 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 The anointing brings comfort. Desire to yield to it. Whenever, just yield to him the more. Once you begin to yield to him more, it gets easier. When you say the anointing brings leading, just want to lead in much more. The anointing, you know, it can heal the sick. Just can start healing the sick much more. It gets easier. I started laying hands on the sick, but I never even knew whether I was called to be a pastor or called to be anything. Just by the spirit within. No special anointing to do anything. Just that anointing of the Holy Ghost. I was putting hands on the sick. And I was getting better at it. I get what I'm saying? I was getting better at it. Thank you, Spirit of God. So respond more. Are you getting me? Respond more. Cast out devils the more. Do you know one reason? I'll get that much. One reason why it looks like. Now, this is not the least, but one reason why it looks like there are some persons specially anointed for this more than other people is use. So people have used a certain grace of God upon their life so much that they've mastered it more than others. So it now looks like there's a special grace. Sometimes there is none. It's just use. Are you following me? There are people who are very good with getting people filled with the Holy Ghost. Do you know getting people filled with the Holy Ghost is something every believer can do? Actually, it's in the believer's anointing. The secret is simple. If you have received something, you can minister it. The same way, if you have received salvation from Jesus, you can preach them salvation to others. I get what I'm talking about. So if you have received the Holy Ghost, you can minister the Holy Ghost to others. Everybody can, once you are born again. But look at the problem. Some people seem like it works more with them. Use. There are people, imagine someone gets born again, and every week is on evangelism. At least 4 times within that week, he has led some people to say, be filled with the Holy Ghost and they speak in tongues. That if he does that for 6 months straight to get to a time, he has become more proficient with it. We just say, you want to pray in tongues? Start praying already. The power of God is upon you. He said, that guy did. He did because he was using what you have. But you don't need to use yours. I get the point. I know some people, some believers, getting filled with the Holy Ghost. They did it so much that they began to time themselves. Say, as I'm going today, I'm going to get people filled with the Holy Ghost under 2 minutes. I'm telling you. They'll just go. One say, do you want to pray? Yes. They just start their top watch. Now, the power of God. So I tell them, I'm doing 30 seconds. They say, so God was anointing them the more. No, they were just using it. I'm going to say something that explain it much later when we get there. One reason why people make progress, why once you begin to use these things, you make more progress. Again, it's because when you keep using these things, you are proving yourself faithful. And once you prove yourself faithful with an ability, God will trust you much more with that ability. If not even with that ability, he will trust you much more with people that have that case. For instance, if you are someone who yields yourself a lot to the healing anointing, if they are going to rely on the sick every day. Now, God will always be breaking such cases around you because you have proven yourself faithful. What do you think is the message in the parable of the talents? They gave one 5 talents, he used it. The other one, 2. The other one 1 talent, he went to hide it. They don't have anything. The other people that used their own, more was added. Are you getting the point? Step out and engage the grace of God upon your life this month. And engage. That believers are not. Now, there's no special thing now. You're not anointed to be a pastor or a prophet. I mean, this normal one all of us have can use it. Go lay hands on the sick. Go cast out devils. In your own private life, personal life, follow divine leading much more. Read your Bible. Engage the spirit of revelation much more. That's why, you know, have you observed that any season in your life where you pray a lot and you read the Bible a lot, it will get to a time, it will look like once you open the Bible, you are seeing something new every time. Does it happen to you? It gets to every day. You know what? If you read your Bible every day, every time you open your Bible, it's like something new is staring at you. Drop that Bible. Don't read it for like 6 months. Come back to it. Everything is looking like Arabic. Are you getting what I'm saying? Grow in the anointing. Because life, ministry, Christian life can only be done by the anointing. Only by the anointing. How do you even do Christianity without the Spirit? Without the Spirit. Christianity without the Spirit is a struggle. It's fake. It's mechanical. It's mechanical. Huh? That's why when you want to lay hands on people, you want to break their head or their neck. What is this? You are doing impartation. What is this? What is this? Is that what you saw me? Is that, have you seen me? Have I twisted your head like that before? Okay, leave me alone. My dad, okay. He's spending me here. It just gets mechanical. So you need fufu anointing to eat your to be able to push somebody down. Hallelujah. When I lay hands on you, sometimes when I lay hands on some of you, the anointing comes when my hands strong, it begins to vibrate. I don't need to put any force on your head. I don't even need to touch you. But see, when there is no anointing in ministry, you want to do impartation. He said, come. You put one leg. And I've seen everything I'm telling you now, but some of you have experienced it. Has someone ever tried to do you deliverance? And they twisted your head. Ah! And I tell you, if I do it, we fall. If I rotate you 7 times. Sometimes as they continue, you want to force that they will leave you alone. He said, hey, thank you. I fall. You know, sometimes they just call and start asking you, when did you join? Madam, I didn't join anything. When did you join the court? You think you are here to play? Just tell, give them date. They will beat the hell out of you. Just give them date. When did you join? 7th of December. What do you guys do there? We drink blood. Because they can deal with you. When did you join? It's bring Cain. I know someone they beat because she refused to say when she joined. I said, why not say it? He said, I don't join it. You say you joined something. When you leave, everything will end. And all of that is just because you're trying to. Now, there is such ministry as casting out of devils. It's not mechanical. It's not mechanical. What's all these ones? When did you join? Who are you? What are you? What are all those things? Did you see Jesus' ministry? From far, the demons will be trembling. From far. He only asked once, what is your name? He said, my name is Legion, for we are many. Now, he didn't need all those. When did you join? What food do you eat? How many children do you have there? What's the fight about? Ministry is very simple, though. It's very simple. By the anointing. By the anointing. By the anointing. So that you don't get into the prophetic and you are doing investigation of prophecy. You say, you a boy. How did I know? You a boy. Hallelujah. You have a father. You have a father. And a mother. You now say, but my father is dead. Yes, your father is dead, yes. That's not the prophetic. That's anointing is real. Listen, it's real. Now, if you've seen the fake, it's because you've not seen the real. The day you see the real, you will know. If I will be telling this about you, you'll be wondering, is somebody telling them?
Even if have you not done Holy Ghost, somebody just holds your hand and begins to talk to you. You are shouting, Jesus Christ of Nazareth. Who told this brother all of this? Anointing is real. Ah, plenty is real. Yield to it. There is no, it's not fight. You can grow in the anointing. You can grow in the anointing. You can grow in the anointing. You can grow in it. Hallelujah. You can grow in it. Lift your hands. Stand to your feet. Let's just close already.
For more information, inquiry, or prayer request, please visit our website at www.henryonyedikachi.com.